especially loneliness in this holiday season. A lot of people are facing loneliness. They're seeing everybody enjoying their family and friends, and you have this deep hungering and desire in your heart to just be with someone. By the way, did you know that that hungering has come from the Lord? He wants you to be with Him ultimately. And the reason you're feeling loneliness is because God has created you for intimacy with Him. And yes, He wants you to be great friendships and relationships with people on this earth, but you have to have a Christ-centered life, not a people-centered life or a selfie-centered life. And so we're dealing with these issues and the struggles that they face inside of us, and kind of in a humorous way looking at it also. And, you know, I've been amazed at how you guys have been supplying feedback from these issues. And I just really think that God has a better life for us, because we get trapped into this idea of solving our struggles in a worldly way. But we're not called to that. If you're a Christian, if you're a Christ follower, the world has nothing to offer us. That was a good place to say amen right there. The world has nothing to offer us. We have everything to offer the world. And we should be able to offer them the real life and the real hope that God has given us. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you're really going to like this message, because I'm really going to cut to the chase and really deal with the answer and the solution to these struggle issues. We've been talking about it for the past 2 weeks. We've been talking about comparison. We've been talking about envy and some of those issues that we have with that. But I'm going to really kind of cut to the chase this morning and then give you the solution to struggles. The solution to hashtag struggles is hashtag surrender. The solution to hashtag struggles is hashtag surrender. What if you posted about your post, oh, I'm in the hour-long pickup line at the elementary school again. I got at the back of the line. Instead of saying hashtag struggles, hashtag surrendering. What if you did that? What if you were in the Walmart line and you don't point fingers this morning. What if you were out doing your Black Friday shopping and you got up there and you were 1 minute late to pick up the really discounted TVs? That, by the way, happened to me. You were 1 minute too late to get the 1 hour guarantee on their little TVs there. And instead of saying hashtag struggles, you said hashtag surrendering. Hashtag surrendering. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to depend on Him. What if instead of that person that you thought would be there for you, they left you, and maybe even stabbed you in the back, and they really hurt you. And instead of talking about them on Facebook and saying hashtag struggles, what if you said, but hashtag I'm going to surrender. I'm going to surrender this issue. I'm going to trust God. What would your life look like? What would my life look like if instead of we hashtag struggled, we have hashtag surrendered? What if we just did that? And in fact, we all have struggles. We all have struggles, but we have Christians. We need to learn how to deal with these struggles and be able to surrender and find the strength that comes only from surrender. Paul was one of these people who faced many struggles. He could have in his day maybe hashtag struggled a lot, saying, you know what, I just want somebody to give me sympathy and I'm going to talk about my problems. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 10, he said, that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses. I actually take joy that I'm going through struggles and in the insults and the hardships and the persecutions and troubles that I suffer, by the way, for Christ. It's okay to struggle, but are you struggling for the right reason? You need to hear me out this morning. He said, I struggle, I have hashtag struggles, but I struggle and I suffer because of my life lived for the sacrifice of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I'm strong. I'm going to give you the solution. What Paul was saying in this whole verse, if you pick it out for just a second, Paul had learned how to live a surrendered life to Christ. In fact, we'll learn how he says in Galatians 2:20, for I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ now lives through me. He learned that through the secret of surrender, you could find a strength. Through the secret of surrender, you could find a strength. And then when struggles come, they're actually a good thing, because struggles give us an opportunity to surrender more. Yeah, you may have not thought that your struggles or your problems were actually an opportunity, but they really are an opportunity. In fact, James chapter 1, James deals with this issue just like Paul has dealt with, and he found the secret of it. He says in James chapter 1, verse 2, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles, or say struggles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to, say it with me, grow. So let it grow. Let it grow. Let it grow. Don't know. Stop, stop, stop. Stop, stop. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now, that word perfection does not mean like what we think of perfection as, like, I'm perfect, I don't need anything. But that word means fully mature. That word means finding ultimate strength in Christ. That's what that word means. That's what Paul is saying. When you face struggles, think of it like, oh, good. Oh, good. Because hashtag struggles means I have an opportunity to hashtag surrender more. I've got an opportunity to surrender more. And when I surrender more, something grows. Something grows inside of me. A faith, a strength, an endurance grows up inside of me. And why? Why does your faith need testing? Have you ever thought about it? I think about that stuff. Maybe you don't have these honest conversations like I do with the Lord, but I know that I lead other people, so I ask for you. You may not realize that when you get to heaven, you'll ask God about this, but I ask questions for you to God. Okay, am I okay doing that, by the way? And so, by the way, you need to ask your own questions, but I when I know I've got to preach to you and talk to you, I was like, God, these people are going to think questions like this. Why does my faith need to grow? I mean, am I not okay like I am? I mean, look, I've got enough. I don't need the extra testing, Lord. You know, I've passed the basic course. I really don't need the advanced classes. You know, I'm okay with that. Anybody like me, you're like, I'm okay just to get out of high school. You know what I'm talking about. I'm okay. I'm okay with that. Why do I need to go on to college? Why do I need the extra testing? Because, listen to me, God has given us a faith like a seed, like a mustard seed. And every seed is intended to do what? Grow. Grow. God has started something in your life because he wants to grow something in your life. That's why you're saved. Well, I'm saved just to get me in heaven. No, listen, that's great. That's fantastic. But you're saved to grow in Christ, to become the image of Christ, to share the knowledge of Christ to others, and do the things of Christ to others. Amen. It's intended to grow. Faith is intended to grow. That's why it needs testing. And every seed has to be planted in the ground, has to be buried before it grows up. And that's why we struggle sometimes, because we don't like the soil process. We don't like the hard press process. We don't like that. But God intends to grow something inside of you. He really does. I love how the Message translation puts this verse in James chapter 1. It says, consider it a sure gift. Maybe you haven't thought of it as your struggle as a gift before. Consider it a sure gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Anybody face that, by the way? So you were surrounded. You were hard-pressed. It felt like everywhere you turned, there was more struggles. There were more struggles. You know that under pressure, say pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and to show its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Wow. What happens when you don't let a seed grow up and you try to pull it out of the ground before it sprouts up? It dies. It dies. It says, don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you will become mature, well-developed, not deficient in any way. Now, we want the last part of the verse, but we got to be willing to go through the middle part. Amen. Tell somebody, the strength is in the middle part. That's right. You may not realize it, but you're going through something that's going to lead to a great strength later in your life. You may not realize it, but your current test is going to turn into a testimony. Come on, somebody. You may not realize it, but your trial and your tribulation and your troubles are going to turn into an anointing that's going to set the captives free. You're in the middle of it. You're in the middle of it. It's going to have a chance to grow. And let me just tell you, guys, you want it to grow. You really do. I mean, deep down inside, you do want it to grow. I know you may, I don't like struggles, pastors, but I want faith. I want faith. I heard this story before. I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard a story of a young man approached T.D. Jakes years ago, and he said, Brother Jakes, will you lay hands on me and pray that I receive the same anointing that you had? I want your impartation. And so T.D. Jakes walked up to this young man and placed his hand on this young man. And he said, Lord, you know how T.D. Jakes, Lord, Lord, I pray that this young man goes bankrupt when he's 30. Lord, I pray that this church turns their back on him and he faces many hardships and trials. And finally, the young man slapped his hand off of him and said, Brother Tate, no disrespect, but that's not what I was praying for. And T.D. Tate says, you can't have the oil if you're not willing to be crushed. And guys, we've got to understand that God thinks it's more important for us to have spiritual maturity than our own worldly comfort. I know this isn't a message we like to hear, but we need to hear it again, don't we? In fact, I want to give you a couple of comparisons. Endurance with Christ or spiritual maturity is greater than comfort in the world. And I want to just kind of examine it for just a second. Wouldn't you rather be mature than selfish? Wouldn't you? Yes. Let me check, make sure. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to flow in the Spirit instead of being driven by the flesh? Wouldn't you want to have a secure life in Christ instead of an insecure, needy, everybody's all against me type life? Wouldn't you like? Yes. Well, then faith has to grow. And for you to have hashtag strength, you've got to have hashtag surrender. In the midst of struggles, it happens through struggles. And so consider it an opportunity. In fact, James chapter 1, James actually gives a whole different contrast in this in James chapter 1. If you'll go back to verse 3, it says, endurance, if you give it an opportunity, has a chance to grow. So let it grow. I won't say anything again. Let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And if you read on down in verse 15, he says something else also wants to grow. These desires, temptations, gives birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, say grow, it gives birth to death. And so James is telling us two things want to grow in your life. It really is boiled down to that. Two things want to grow. Faith and strength wants to grow through Christ. You can let it grow, let it grow, let it grow. Or if you keep giving into temptation, if you keep pulling out when God wants to train you and uplift you, if you keep falling into, oh, poor pitiful me, and I need, it's my rights, don't I deserve, don't me. If you keep giving into that, guess what starts growing? Sin starts growing. And when sin gets to maturity, it gives birth to what? Death. So guys, it's really simple. You know this, but let me just say it. If you let faith grow, it will lead to abundant life. If you don't, sin's going to grow, and it's going to lead to death. Isn't that what Jesus said? The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give life and life more abundantly? Okay, well, just give it to me. Okay, I'm going to let you go through some testing. I've planted a seed. By the way, you can't have a harvest without a seed. And how many of you guys are thankful for the seed of Christ? Amen? You have the seed of Christ in you. Otherwise, you would just go through hashtag struggles for no reason. You would just, you know what? You might as well try to have the best of your sorry life and die if it wasn't for Jesus. Amen? But because he came and he overcame through the cross, praise God, and because he rose on the third day, I can go through hashtag struggles and I can find the hashtag strength because he overcame and faith will grow up. I'll actually be better for it. But if I don't accept what God is trying to teach me and I pull back into my selfishness, you may not have thought this before, you let sin start growing in your own heart. Because one testing that you pull out in selfishness will lead to more and more and more and more and more. To a life of selfishness. Isn't that true? And it will grow and it will lead to a life of ultimate death. And this has just played out constantly before me. And it breaks my heart because I see it out. It's almost like the Lord has showed me, by the way, revelation sometimes is a burden because you see it in people's lives and you're like, can't you wake up and see it for yourself? And it's hard to know what's about to happen in somebody's life and they can't see it. Amen. Come on, somebody. This young woman we was trying to help last week and this weekend, she came to the point in her life to where she was either going to have to let faith grow through her struggles and turn, even though it was going to mean some hard things, turn in the right direction, or she could keep running. And I begged and pleaded with her. Others did too. Begged and pleaded with her. Please, please turn your heart to Christ. I know it's going to probably get a little bit harder before it gets better. But turn to Christ and let faith grow up inside of you. Because don't keep running. And she ultimately made the choice to just keep running. And I could tell. I knew what was I know what's down that road of running. It's death. Well, how do you know that? Because I've been on it myself in the past. And it was only by the grace of God that he's brought me back to the truth. And he wants life for you. Tell your neighbor this. Jesus wants life for you. He wants life for you. He doesn't want you to experience the death in your life, but he gives us struggles sometimes as tests. By the way, our reactions to struggles determines really if we're going to have abundant life or abundant death. It's how you react to it. It's how you react to hashtag struggles in your life. And listen, only endurance, only strong faith growing endurance, not more sermons, not more worship CDs, not even more impartations, not even going to seminary will bring the anointed life. Only faithful endurance, learning through the struggles, will bring that anointed life that we all know God wants to give us to change this community. Amen. So consider it a opportunity. Opportunity. So let me give you the three things. How should I react when I face hashtag struggles? Number one, consider. Consider. Verse 2 again, it says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kinds come your way, consider it. Consider it an opportunity. And I'm going to say, well, that seems obvious. But how many of us actually pause and think about what's going on in our life? I mean, how many times do we just fly off the cuff, say the first thing that comes to our mind, post on Facebook before we pray about it? By the way, pray before you post, you know. How many times do we just get on there and we just, they shouldn't do this, and I can't believe that crossing guard did this, and I can't believe they let the other line before they let me. Hashtag struggles. Hashtag he needs to get alive. Hashtag does he know who I am? Well, stop. Consider what's about to happen. Consider where you're at. Consider what's going on right now at this moment. Evaluate whether should you post this or not, or say this or not, or have this reaction. Will it actually help you pass the class that God has given you? And if it won't, for your own good, don't do it. Please. Consider your values. Determine what type of life you really want. Have you ever thought about that for a second? What type of person do you want to be known as by your children? Well, consider it. Think about it for a second. You know, so many times we value the physical comforts and the material more than we think about our lasting legacy. But consider it. Consider it. We live in a present. We live for now. But listen, God wants us to learn how to live for a future, a life. You know, consider. I have to, as a pastor, I had to consider before I post things on Facebook because people, can I just share a silly little thing with you? Can a pastor share with you? I mean, we went to the Electric Christmas thing. It was awesome. And unfortunately, my wife and my oldest child had to stay home because he had strep throat. And we went to the Electric Christmas thing, and it's a live nativity scene that you walk through. And part of it, they show the shepherds with the angels, you know, and the white robes singing hallelujah. It's beautiful, by the way. I encourage you to go next year. Unfortunately, it's over with for this year. Go next year if you can. And so at that point, little Abram was just caught up in a moment. He was like, oh, that's awesome, you know. And so I took a picture of him looking at all these angels and dressed in white robes. Well, can I tell you, I got met like a post back and messages back say, was that the KKK? Did y'all go see the KKK? And I'm like, are you crazy? It's angels. And so I was like, even in things like that, I have to consider, should I post this or not? My wife did it. And so when she told me she did, I was like, please avoid foolish arguments. Afterwards, it's like, never mind, I posted it anyway. And so... Got to consider. I mean, it's like the devil is trying to bait you, ain't he? He's like, come on, take it. And people will do things to you. Look, the devil is using them. It's not people anyway. They'll use them to come up, and somebody will jump right in front of you in the checkout line just because the devil sent them, because he's wanting you not to consider, just to do. And you always regret things that you just do before you consider. Isn't that true? Come on, somebody. So consider your life. What type of values? Listen, our family has family values. We have four family values that we live. Love God, love people, love God, love people. Do your best, have fun. That's our values. That's how important they are, right? And look, we're like, anything that we do, let's consider. This is the things that we live by. Does it fall in those guidelines? Does it? Do you have values for your own life, or you just live by whatever you feel like? I mean, guys, consider your life for a second. This is how you have strength in the midst of struggles. Consider your life. Number two, ask for wisdom. James says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Anybody have a teacher that get mad at you when you ask them for help? You know what I'm talking about? God is not that type of God. He loves that you ask him. He loves. In fact, he says, you have not because you didn't ask me. Ask him. In fact, have you ever heard it before? I loved when I was in college, especially those open book tests. You know what I'm talking about? I love open book tests. But can I tell you something? We have something even better. We have an open teacher test. And the Holy Spirit, in fact, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. He has come to help us. If you don't know what you should do, if you don't know if you should probably cuss that guy, that lady out across the cash register, ask the Holy Spirit. He'll probably tell you not to. You know. So ask him. Ask him. Ask him. Ask him. Ask him. In all your life, ask him. Listen to me. Let me tell you the secret of having a Spirit-filled and Spirit-led life. It's enjoying the Holy Spirit. And just enjoy him. Just say, oh, Holy Spirit, thank you for being with me today. Thank you for going to the grocery store with me. You know how much I hate this place, but thank you for going with me to the grocery store. Come on, somebody. Thank you for going with me. And when you just welcome him and enjoy him there, guess what? You'll hear his voice more clearly. And he'll tell you what to do. He'll guide you in all things. Look, listen to me. Look, stop just blazing through life. I mean, if you're known for your short temper, stop it. If you're known for just speaking without thinking, stop. It's not working for you. Just stop. Stop blazing through life. Listen to me. Stop taking worldly advice. Stop asking people on social media what you do. Ask Jesus. Ask Holy Spirit. Ask him. And look. When you do find that place of like, okay, I think I know what God may want me to do. I need to seek godly counsel. Go seek godly counsel. Amen. You'll seek godly counsel. Verse 6, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person who is with divided loyalty is unsettled as the way of sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, for their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. Now, what is James saying here? He's saying, guys, when you go to that person that's godly, and you say, you know what, I've been praying about this, and I just need confirmation, or I need more advice about this issue. Put your faith in God. Put your faith in what God would say. And when you pray, listen to me. I'm on a soapbox here for a second. But when the pastor or somebody else, godly people, and your small group leader, they pray with you, and it seems very clear what God wants you to do, accept it as the word of God. Accept it and then go out and do it. You know what? It's just kind of frustrating when you spend time, all that time of prayer and thinking and praying about it, and you have that word of God, and then you go out and you do what your cousin so-and-so said on Facebook to do. James is saying, look, don't expect anything from God if you're going to live like that. Whoa. Why? Because you're double-minded. You say, well, I want to know what God... No, you don't. You want me to tell you what you want to do. When God says something, put your hope and your faith in God. Put your hope in God. Put your faith in what God would say about your life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And James isn't saying, well, your faith isn't strong enough, and so you're not going to receive things. What he's saying is you don't respect God's advice enough to follow through with it. That's what he's saying, isn't it? And so when he faced hashtag struggles, I know this is hard because my natural bent is to seek as much comfort as possible. But when God speaks to you and tells you what you should do, reverence him enough, honor him enough to hear him out and do it. Why? Because he's got life for you. Anybody believe that? Amen? Oh, this is good. Okay, number three. So you need to consider, you need to ask for wisdom, and when he gives it to you, follow through. Number three, trust in a loving God. That's ultimately it, guys. That's the secret to finding a strength in the midst of a struggle to be able to surrender your life, is you got to trust that he's a loving God. He really is a loving God. Verse 9, James says, believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And you're like, what? No, I don't understand that. I don't have anything. What do I have to boast about? Verse 10, and those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. What is James saying? He's like, listen, don't put your faith in your trust in stuff or resources. Put your faith in God. Because God says he'll be close to the broken. God said he'll supply to those who hurt and are in need. God said that he would take it. He said, look, I'll take care of the birds in the air and the flowers on the field. How much more can I take care of you? Stop trusting in stuff. And if you're rich, stop trusting in stuff. God is your supply. He's your source. And he's going to humble you if he has to make you realize that. And so you need to open up your heart to this issue that God is the loving God. It's God that we trust, not in money, not in people, not in stuff. It's God, and God is a loving God. Say, God is a loving God. Verse 16, so don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down from us from who? God our Father. It's him who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes. Say, he never changes. Or cast a shifting shadow. Wow. That literally means the Bible, what James is saying, he doesn't even turn an inch. I mean, he doesn't even budge a millimeter. He doesn't. He never changes. He never shifts. He never says, well, I don't know if I like Chris anymore. I'm not really going to be here for him today. No, he's like, I've given myself to him. I'm in covenant with him. I'm not going to break. God is not a man that he should lie or break his word. He never changes. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Look at your neighbor and say, I am a prized possession. Come on, somebody. I am a prized possession. Trust in a loving God. Trust in a loving God. Before I close, I want to give you this example. How many of you guys realize, know that I'm a Rocky fan? I love Rocky. I watch Rocky a lot. So pray for me. But I just think it's a great movie. It's a great series of movies. I don't like number 5, but I think the rest of them are great. But in the movie Rocky, the last one, Rocky Balboa, he has his son is older now. And Rocky, if you know the movie, he's trying to make his comeback, and he's an older guy now, and he's like, his son is trying to get out of his father's, like, shadow. He's like, you know what, Dad, don't do this. I'm already trying to get my own name, and here you are trying to go back and reinvent your career, so to speak, and you're an old guy now. Dad, you're going to embarrass me. Don't do this. And Rocky gives one of the best lines, I think, ever in movies. And I just want to set the stage of it because I really think it has a lot to do with what we talked about this morning. Watch this.
This is only going to end up bad for you, and it's going to end up bad for me.
You think I'm hurting you?
Yeah, in a way you are.
That's the last thing I ever wanted to do.
I know that's not what you want to do, but that's just the way that it is. Don't you care what people think? Doesn't it bother you that people are making you out to be a joke and that I'm going to be included in that? Do you think that's right? Do you?
You ain't gonna believe this, but you used to fit right here. I'd hold you up and say to your mother, this kid's gonna be the best kid in the world. This kid's gonna be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching. Every day was like a privilege. Then the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you wanna be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always gonna love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son, you're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't gonna have a life. Don't forget to visit your mother.
Rocky tries to tell his son, you've lost your identity. That's the reason struggles are getting the best of you. And because you lost who you are, you are looking to the world to tell you who you are, and all they do is punch you in the face because you'll never measure up to their expectations. And you give up. And he said, that's not you. That's not who you are. Why? Because Rocky was saying, you're my son, and we don't quit. It's not who we are. So for his son to find the strength that Rocky had, and man, Rocky had strength, he had to surrender to his true identity. The secret for hashtag strength in the midst of hashtag struggles is hashtag surrender. You got to stop trying to fit into the world, church. You got to stop caring about what they think of you. You got to stop trying to have the comfort and the stuff that the world thinks is important. It's not important. You'll see when it's taken away from them how much they scroll around and just get all upset. And listen to me, if you're not a Christian, that's not who God intends you to be. He wants you to have identity in Christ. You see, the whole secret of this, you may not have caught it, but in James gives us the whole secret to this issue right at the very first verse in James chapter 1. He says, I'm James, the servant of Christ and of God. James, the servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look, that statement may not mean much to you, but look, you got to understand, James was Jesus' brother, his actually earthly brother. Could you imagine, you know, your brother being the Messiah? You know, how would that would make you feel? I know some, if you had a brother like that, sometimes my brother thought he was the Messiah. You know, so it's a, I think it was backwards, never mind. So, could you imagine what James was saying at James didn't come to the saving grace until after Jesus was resurrected because it was so hard for him to believe what Jesus' brother was saying. He was like, come on, you kidding me? You're my brother. And so James, could you imagine the shadow James must have felt like he was under? I mean, like all his life growing up, James felt like the nobody, that it was all about Jesus. He's the one. Could you imagine what James was feeling like? James was like, Jesus this, Jesus that. And then somehow James had to give up this selfish, self-centered life. And he had to surrender to where finally he would say, James, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. How about you? Maybe the reason you're facing so many hashtag struggles, maybe the reason that hashtag struggles seems to get the best of you is because you're not giving the best of you to Jesus Christ. Maybe the reason Maybe the reason it's getting so hard for you to live this life is because God intends for you to surrender to who you really are. And find the strength that Paul found that said, even in my weaknesses, I'm strong. I'm strong because I know who I am. And I know what this life is for. And it's for the glory of Jesus Christ. What about you? What about you? Will you stand on your feet with me this morning? Let's sing this song together. It's an old song. Let's sing this song together. It's our response to the Lord right now. The Spirit of God is on. Give ourselves to you again. Many of us, Lord, to be honest, we were just about to come out of the soil before the sprout sprouted up. Lord, I just felt like this morning was so critical because there were so many lives that were starting to pull back in their passion and desire, God, to live a life for you because the struggles just got so hard. And I understand, Lord, you said that we'd have struggles on this earth, but you promised us peace. You promised us a peace when we would surrender to you. And there's many people in the sound of my voice this morning, God, what they need to do to have hashtag strength in the midst of hashtag struggles, Lord, is to honestly surrender again. Surrender. Say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, however you want me to respond, whatever you want me to live by, to glorify you with, Lord, I surrender because you're a loving God. You're a loving God. There's others in the sound of my voice this morning. You've really never honestly completely surrendered to the Lord to begin with. You may have even said the prayers and gone through the motions, but if we was to be honest with yourself this morning, you know that your life is not surrendered to the Lord Jesus. You've been living for yourself. This is your opportunity. The Lord is beckoning you back to Him. He's crying out to you, sinner, come home. Come home. Find life. If that's you this morning, just quickly, just raise your hand and say, that's me. Would you pray for me? Just raise your hand and say, that's me. That's me. Anybody else to say, hey, would you just pray for me? Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? One more opportunity to say, you know what? I need to get this right this morning. All right, let me pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the cross and how you gave yourself completely to us. And Lord, you're crying out for us to have life and life abundantly by giving ourselves completely to you. And Lord, I pray with these that's raised their hands right now. Lord, we confess our sins to you. We ask that you'd forgive us. We thank you for the cross and your unconditional love for us. We pray right now that you would just help us to live our life fully for you. I pray, Lord, that you would bring a true conversion in our hearts. Let us leave the world and follow after you, because that's where life and life abundantly really is. I proclaim you now as my Lord and my Savior. And I give you thanks for this in Jesus' name. Amen.